This article is brought to you by the best-selling books They Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Signs your leadership voice is driven by anxiety rather than intention, and how to fix it. When your words come from fear, your team feels it before you do. In short, leadership voice anxiety is when fear, not purpose, drives how you communicate as a leader. It rarely feels like fear from the inside. It feels like caution, professionalism, or preparation. But your team reads it clearly, and it costs you their trust. Anxiety-driven leadership voice looks like over-explaining, hedging, and avoiding the conversations that matter most. The signs are easy to miss because they mimic responsible leadership behavior. You can reclaim an intentional voice, but only after you can name what is happening. Definition: leadership voice anxiety is a communication pattern in which a leader's words, tone, and timing are shaped by the need to avoid discomfort rather than by a clear intention. It produces reactive, inconsistent, and often unclear messaging that gradually erodes team trust and confidence. A senior manager I worked with once told me his team described him as hard to read. He was proud of it. He thought it meant he was measured. What it actually meant was that nobody on his team felt safe bringing him a real problem. His communication was not measured. It was defended. Every sentence was engineered to protect him rather than to lead them. He had no idea. That is the cruel thing about leadership voice anxiety. It wears the costume of competence while quietly doing damage underneath. The signs are easy to miss because they do not look like anxiety. They look like thoroughness, diplomacy, or authority. You think you are being careful. Your team thinks you are being evasive. Both of you believe the other is the problem. This article will help you see which patterns belong to you, why they formed, and what to do first. Why leadership voice anxiety is so hard to catch in yourself. Leaders rarely receive honest feedback about how they sound. The higher you rise, the more people around you soften their observations. If your voice carries a trace of anxiety, most colleagues will simply adapt to it. They will tell you what you seem to want to hear, avoid the topics that seem to make you tense, and fill in the gaps themselves. That adaptation looks like smooth communication. It is not. It is a team quietly working around you. By the time most leaders notice something is wrong, the pattern has been running for years. 6 signs your leadership voice is anxiety-driven. 1. You over-explain decisions until the confidence drains out of them. What it looks like: you announce a decision, then immediately add 3 caveats, 2 qualifiers, and an invitation for people to push back before the room has even had a chance to process what you said. Why it happens: you are managing an internal fear of being seen as wrong, or of making your team uncomfortable. The explanation keeps growing because silence feels like disapproval. Why it matters: over-explanation signals uncertainty. Even if your decision is sound, your team begins to wonder if you believe it yourself. Building genuine team cohesion requires that your voice carries the weight of your convictions, not the weight of your worries. What to do: before your next announcement, write the decision in one sentence. Deliver that sentence first, then pause. Let the silence sit for 3 full seconds before you add anything. You will be surprised how often nothing more is needed. Eamon's note: I used to fill every silence with more words. I thought I was being thorough. I was being frightened. 2. Your tone changes completely depending on who is in the room. What it looks like: you are direct and clear with your team, then deferential and hedging with senior leadership. Or you're firm with peers, but suddenly vague and soft when someone pushes back. Why it happens: anxiety-driven communicators unconsciously calibrate their voice to the perceived threat level of the listener. The higher the stakes, the more the voice shifts to manage the relationship rather than convey the message. Why it matters: your team notices this, even if they never say it. When they see you communicate differently upward than you do with them, trust breaks quietly. They stop believing you represent them accurately to leadership. What to do: identify your most common shift. Is it tone, pace, or word choice? Pick one upcoming conversation with someone whose opinion you fear and prepare a single opening sentence you will deliver the same way you would with your own team. Eamon's note: a colleague once told me I sounded like a different person in board meetings. She was right, and the person I sounded like was considerably less honest. 3. You avoid the conversation until it becomes a crisis. What it looks like: a performance issue sits unaddressed for weeks. A team conflict that needs your input gets more time to resolve itself. A misalignment with a peer stays unspoken until it breaks into a meeting room argument. Why it happens? Anxiety-driven leaders experience the anticipation of a difficult conversation as more threatening than the problem itself. Avoidance delivers immediate relief, which reinforces the habit. Why it matters? Every conversation you delay compounds. The relationship deteriorates, the problem grows, and when you finally do speak, you are doing it under worse conditions with higher emotional stakes. If handling conflict during meetings consistently feels like crisis management, avoidance is probably the reason. What to do? Name the conversation you have been postponing, not the topic, the actual conversation with the actual person. Set a time for it in the next 48 hours. The specificity removes the escape route that anxiety relies on. Eamon's note. I avoided a conversation with a direct report for 6 weeks once. By the time I spoke, I had lost her trust entirely. I earned that outcome. 4. You ask for more input than the situation needs. This one will surprise you. What it looks like. You run consultations on decisions that are already made. You open discussions with what does everyone think, when what you actually need is alignment, not debate. You seek consensus on matters where your role requires you simply to decide. Why it happens. This one is counterintuitive, and it catches most leaders off guard. Over-consultation is often praised as collaborative leadership, but when it is driven by anxiety, it is actually a way of distributing blame. If the decision fails, and everyone was consulted, the leader feels less exposed. Why it matters. Teams lose confidence in leaders who cannot distinguish between genuine collaboration and anxiety-managed decision-making. They start to feel that their input does not actually shape anything, which is demoralizing. What to do? Before your next meeting, categorize the agenda items which genuinely need team input and which need your decision communicated clearly. Practice the second category by using the Strawn method to state your intention clearly before inviting any discussion. Eamon's note. The most collaborative thing a leader can do is be clear about what kind of conversation you're having before you start it. 5. Your language is full of exits. What it looks like. Phrases like this is just my initial thinking. I could be wrong about this. It is probably nothing. But or feel free to disregard this if it does not fit. These hedges appear before your most important points, not your uncertain ones. Why it happens. Edging language is a preemptive defense. If you undermine your own idea before someone else can, the rejection hurts less. It feels like humility. It functions like armor. Why it matters. Hedged communication is exhausting for teams to interpret. When every statement comes with a built-in escape clause, people cannot tell which of your ideas you actually believe in. They stop investing in your vision because they are not sure you're invested in it yourself. What to do? For 1 week, delete every hedge from your written communication before you send it. Do not replace the hedge with false confidence. Simply remove it and read the sentence as it stands. You will often find it is more accurate without the escape route than with it. Eamon's note. I cover the gap between what we know and what we say in detail and say it right every time, because the gap is where most communication falls apart under pressure. 6. You rehearse conversations not to prepare, but to control. What it looks like. You play out every possible response that other person might give and plan a counter for each one. The preparation becomes so elaborate that you enter the actual conversation on guard rather than present. When the conversation goes off script, you freeze or become defensive. Why it happens. There is a version of preparation that builds your confidence and a version that attempts to eliminate all risk. The second one is anxiety in disguise. It mistakes control for readiness. Learning to tell the two apart is something I explore at length and say it right every time, particularly in how preparation should serve your clarity, not your fear. Why it matters. Over-rehearsed conversations stop being conversations. They become performances. Your counterpart feels it. You are not listening. You are executing. Real leadership voice requires genuine responsiveness. If you want to stay grounded when a conversation turns tense, the core framework is built exactly for that moment. What to do? Before your next difficult conversation, prepare your intention in one sentence and two or three key points. Then stop. Trust that if you know why you are there and what you care about, you can handle what comes. Eamon's note. Preparation is for your clarity. If it has become about predicting the other person's every move, it has crossed into something else. The pattern beneath all 6 signs. Each of these signs looks different on the surface, but they share a single root of belief, usually unconscious, that your standing as a leader is fragile. When you believe your authority could be withdrawn by a wrong word, a poor decision, or someone's disapproval, every conversation becomes a threat to manage rather than a connection to make. Your voice stops serving your team and starts serving your sense of safety. That is what anxiety-driven leadership sounds like from the inside: reasonable, careful, thoughtful. From the outside, it sounds like a leader who cannot quite be trusted with the truth. The antidote is not confidence as a performance. It is clarity about what you are actually there to do. A leader whose voice is grounded in intention, not fear, is not fearless. They simply know their purpose well enough that fear does not get to write the script. Check yourself. A diagnostic tool for your leadership voice. Read each statement and mark it honestly as yes or no. When I deliver a difficult message, I add qualifications before I have finished the first sentence. My tone or directness shifts noticeably depending on seniority or status in the room. There is at least one conversation I have been avoiding for more than 2 weeks. I have sought team consensus on a decision I had already made. My written communication regularly contains phrases like "just my thought" or "feel free to ignore this." I have entered conversations so well rehearsed that the other person's actual response felt like a disruption. Scoring 0 to 1 yes. Your leadership voice is largely intentional. Stay watchful. These patterns can return during high-pressure periods. 2 to 3 yes. Anxiety is shaping some of your most important communication. Identify the one sign that costs you the most and start there. 4 to 6 yes. Anxiety is a significant force in how you lead. This is not a character flaw. It is a pattern, and patterns can change. Start with the first move below. If you find that defensiveness comes up when you receive feedback about this, the core framework for handling defensive reactions gives you a method for staying with the discomfort long enough to learn from it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now back to the article. Your first move. One sentence before every hard conversation. You do not fix leadership voice anxiety by thinking differently. You fix it by speaking differently, one conversation at a time. Before your next significant conversation, write this down. My intention for this conversation is to complete it with something that serves the other person or the team, not something that protects you. That is the test. If your intention is to get through this without conflict or to make sure they don't blame me, that is anxiety talking. If your intention is to give her a clear picture of what needs to change and why I believe she can do it, that is leadership. Advocating clearly when someone resists your message gets significantly easier when you have named your intention before you enter the room. So does staying composed when a discussion gets dominated by someone louder or more aggressive than you. This much I know for certain: leadership voice anxiety does not disappear, but it loses its grip the moment you stop mistaking it for wisdom. Name the fear. Write the intention. Then speak from that intention, even if the fear is still in the room with you. Frequently asked questions. What is leadership voice anxiety? Leadership voice anxiety is when a leader communicates from a place of fear rather than intention. The words, tone, and timing of their messages are shaped by the need to avoid discomfort rather than by a clear goal. It often looks like strength, but quietly erodes team trust. How do I know if my leadership voice is driven by anxiety? The clearest sign is that your communication changes depending on who is in the room. If you overexplain to senior leaders, avoid hard truths with your team, or rehearse conversations obsessively to prevent conflict, your voice is reactive rather than intentional. Anxiety leads, clarity follows behind. Can leadership voice anxiety affect team performance? Yes, and faster than most leaders expect. When your team cannot predict how you will respond, they start filtering what they tell you. That silence creates blind spots. Decisions get made on incomplete information, and small problems grow before you ever hear about them. What causes anxiety-driven communication in leaders? The most common root is an unspoken belief that your position is conditional, that one wrong conversation could cost you respect, authority, or approval. That belief turns every high-stakes exchange into a threat. The voice that follows is one managing risk, not leading people. How do I fix anxiety-driven leadership communication? Start by separating your preparation from your anxiety. Before a difficult conversation, Write down your intention in one clear sentence. What outcome do you want for the other person and the team? That single act shifts your focus from self-protection to purpose, and your voice changes with it. Is it normal for leaders to feel anxious before difficult conversations? Completely normal, and I would be suspicious of any leader who claims otherwise. The problem is not the anxiety. The problem is when anxiety moves from being a feeling you have before a conversation to being the force that shapes every word during it. One is human, the other is a leadership problem. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.